Sorry, my throat was a little dry. So good to see everyone this morning. I know I'm excited to be here. And as we're getting ready to start a new series in a new year, my mind went back about a decade ago. Holy Week of 2015, I received a really strange call from an associate pastor at the church where I was a pastor. It was in Frankfort, Indiana. And the pastor said, "We just had unexpected guests. I can't even begin to describe what's going on, but you need to come and talk to them." So I was pretty intrigued and went straight to the church building and talked to these guests that had come to hear their story. So what ended up happening, there was a man in his early 20s, and he had him and his wife and his toddler son had showed up. And he told me the story. He said he was from Georgia, and that God spoke to him and said, "Indiana." And he said, "I'd never even been to Indiana. I'm from the South. I don't really like cold weather. But God said, Indiana, and I don't even understand it." And then he said, God said to him, "Frankfurt." And then so he checked it out. He learned there was indeed a Frankfort, Indiana. And then God spoke to him another time and said, "Church of God." So he Googled it, and he found Kelly Crossing Church of God. So they sold most of what they had. They loaded their family into their little car, and they drove from Georgia to the church parking lot. If you're waiting for a punchline, there's not one. So when I hear this story, I was astounded. This is a person I'd never met, claiming that God spoke to him in Georgia and sent him to come help us. And I remember he said something like, "Do you believe that God is speaking to me? Do you believe that God said this to me?" And my response was, "Time will tell." God told me great things. So I'm going to fast forward like a year later, or a few years later. I left, and what happened in the aftermath is this man from Georgia eventually became the senior pastor, and God continued to say things, and some of those things sounded kind of bizarre. They seemed questionable, and then the tone kind of changed from more humble, because we had a great year together while we were together, but became more confrontational of anyone who questioned the vision or argumentative. And all of that thing ended with, in a bad way, it ended with a congregation divided, depleted, destroyed almost, and in a really ugly way. And so I was thinking about that and how that story started and how it ended. What did time tell? What did time say from that message of this, you know, bold encounter of what God said and visions of greatness and all these kind of things? And for me, it was just another reason to doubt when somebody would say, "God told me." Because I don't know about you, but I've had people come up and say to me things like, "God told me." And then maybe what they say could be crazy, or it could be cruel, or it could be very self-serving. And so it was just another, time told me another, just another reason to be skeptical when people said, "God told me." And as I've been rich cult leaders, that's another one. But the words "God told me," sometimes they end up in death, divorce, destruction. And as I've wrestled with this and almost become cynical, even though these words "God told me" have been misused in all kinds of different ways, that does not mean they should be discarded or even the idea of hearing from God. We're going to look at something that Jesus said from John 10, 14. He wrote, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also." And here's the part here. "They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus, the good shepherd, said that His sheep, his people, will recognize his voice. And I've really wrestled with this. I don't, maybe you have. You're in church, so you're trying to ask these hard spiritual questions and seeking God and wanting to wrestle with the things that are really important in life. So you probably wondered some of these similar things, like what is it? And I've recognized that as a follower of Jesus, and by the way, if you're here and you're not a Christian, we're grateful to have you with us. And we're going to point to Jesus because we believe that he's the way and he'll be good for you. But regardless, we want you to know we're grateful that you're here and we're blessed and we hope to bless you. But if you are a follower of Jesus, one of the things that we believe is that he has a way of speaking to us. And it's really important if we're going to follow Jesus that we go in the direction of Jesus. And I think one of the things that I've been seeing is that one of the spiritual problems that I have is, maybe it's a problem, maybe not, but I think it's a problem to my degree, is that I really doubt that I can hear God's voice. I mean, God's never spoke to me audibly. He hasn't done his things clearly as saying, hey, move your family way far away in a way that's undeniable. But that's one of the things, like, what does it look like to hear the voice of Christ? And as I look back, I think one of the problems that I go through in doubting this or assuming that I can't is that, man, when you don't listen to the voice of Christ or you just try to do, it leads to weariness, it leads to burnout, it leads to fruitless efforts, it can lead to resentment and efforts just to distract from the difficulties of trying to follow Jesus and thinking that God doesn't speak to you. Now, one person that God's sent along my path that's been really helpful to me is no longer alive, but his writings live on, and his name is Dallas Willard. And we've taken this whole title of this series from a Dallas Willard book called Hearing God. And a lot of the material that we're going to talk about, it's at least inspired or it comes through because this is a book that I've read and am rereading again. But I want to start off with this kind of heady quote. An appropriate response to misuse of religious authority, and that sometimes people will use God told me as like the trump card or I have religious authority that cannot be questioned. An appropriate response and misuse of religious authority will be available to those who have an understanding of how individualized divine guidance on the one hand and individual or corporate authority on the other meld together in Jesus' community of transforming love. Now that's heady again, so try to stay with us. Today there is a desperate need for large numbers of people throughout various social groupings who are competent and confident in their own practice of life in Christ and in hearing his voice. Now, despite all my things and my efforts, there are a couple good habits that I do have that I'm very grateful for. There's a popular saying, Dallas Willard may have said it, but other people have too. If you want to hear God's voice, read the scriptures out loud. I don't know if you've heard that one. And that is a practice that I'm grateful for that I've had for a long time is reading the scriptures and asking God to speak. And along with that second one is praying and saying, Holy Spirit, please teach me through this. And when you read it out loud, maybe you'll hear the voice of God, hearing the word of God out loud. So those have been really helpful for me is trying to, and thinking my feelings can go astray, but I want to point out a few scriptures then that have really, I think, helped me to be learning more about what it maybe means to be listening to God, to hearing God, to be following him and for the path that he has for me. And whereas you can hear God for the path that he has for you. This scripture to me that's, again, really, really good. Like it reminds me that when my Bible closes in the morning, that doesn't mean that I don't need God to continue to speak to me. Because I've been learning that that's not enough for me to kind of hear something in the morning. But I want to continue to hear what God has to say to me. Because all kinds of things are going to crop up each day. And I want to hear. That's the other thing that I've really been discovering. I really want to hear what God has to say because his words can be so helpful. So this comes, this is Jenny's life verse in this passage, and it's a passage that means a whole lot to me. It starts with John 6:66. We talk about this one, like the verse of the devil. It's 666 because it's from this time, many of Jesus' disciples, they turned back and they no longer followed him. So there are people who started following Jesus and they went as far as they could go and they turned back and they no longer did. And I absolutely love what Jesus does. It's so non-manipulative. It's so non-controlling. He turns to his 12. He asks the 12, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" And then Simon Peter answers. And this is my wife, Jenny. This is her life verse here. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." I've come. This is almost a life verse to me now, because the older I get, the more I appreciate these words of Peter. Like sometimes life doesn't make sense to me either, the way that I try to do my walk with Christ and living out the Christian faith, but where I don't have anywhere else to go. And I have really come to know and believe that Jesus' words are words of life. That the words, when I hear the words, when the word comes to me, there's something in me that starts to come alive. John Wesley talked about heart being strangely warm. There's something that happens when the word of Christ, when the word of God comes in, and it's something that's really, really helpful. Now, I'll admit, like as I've grown, I hope I've grown in my understanding of God. I used to be really afraid of God speaking to me. I used to think that God was just going to correct me. God was going to zap me or just express disappointment in me. And I used to be afraid that God was going to ask me to do something I really didn't want to do. Admittedly, I'm still afraid of that. I'm still afraid that God might ask me to do something I don't want to do, but that will be for my good, that will be a little bit hard. But I'm learning. One of the things that I'm learning is that the voice of the Good Shepherd, the voice of Christ, is so much more gentle than my own voice. I have all kinds of voices that I listen to. And Lily Tomlin, a comedian, said it something like this. If someone speaks to God, we call it prayer. If someone says God speaks to them, we call it schizophrenia. And I do have these almost schizophrenic voices. And I think a lot of it is my own voice or voice of the enemy or however it is, but it's a harsh voice a lot of times. And it's pointing out my faults and flaws in a way that's more, it's less motivational and encouraging and more condemning. One of the things I've been learning about the voice and trying to listen to Christ and the Good Shepherd and how he does speak is it's a more gentle voice. Now, granted, it's not always easy or exactly what I want to hear. It can be challenging, but it's a good kind of challenging. It's a kind of challenging that gives me encouragement and hope rather than the voice of my critic, the voice of the enemy that comes in for condemnation. So been learning again that it is so encouraging to hear the voice of Christ because it's the words of life and truth that set us free. Going to look at one more scripture here. And these may seem, we're not really just doing one passage like we normally do, but this is another one that I want to look at from Hebrews chapter 4. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses." Now, here it's calling Jesus our high priest. And as I was, again, looking at Christ and looking at God, because I used to be afraid that God was going to zap me for my sin and my evil and be disappointed. God looked at disappointing eyes. But it says that we have a high priest, that Christ is not unable to empathize with our weaknesses, that he looks at us maybe with empathy, with compassion. "But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." And then the advice is, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace." What's the throne of grace? "With confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." How beautiful and powerful is that for us people who have weaknesses, who have needs, that we can have confidence to approach God's throne, and that we don't get just judgment or disapproval or disappointment, but there's the mercy that we need. There's something that's good for us. There's life in it when we turn to Him. Christ does not despise us for our weaknesses. Good news. He doesn't despise us. I despise myself sometimes for my weaknesses. But He looks at us again with empathy and longing to give us the grace that we need. He cares about us. Just as a father or a mother with children, I think we know that what we really want for our kids is to experience that grace and the mercy and some empathy and some kindness. Now, this is not exactly the confidence of a spokesperson who can tell everybody what's wrong with them. It's not that kind of confidence. But it's confidence in a God whose grace is enough, a God whose mercy is new every morning. That's the kind of confidence that we can have, a God who looks at us and wants to give us, wants to lavish the love. How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us? And that when we look to Him, we begin to experience that. I want to go back again to the man from Georgia. One more story here before we move on in the service. But this next one comes a year later, Holy Week 2016. The Saturday before Easter, I was here in Indianapolis at Meridian. I was still a pastor in Frankfurt, but I was meeting with some leaders here, thinking that maybe we were going to come here. And so we had a day where we were here in Indianapolis meeting these leaders. Why we did it the day before Easter, I have no idea, but we did. And we went heading back home late afternoon. And on the way home, I got a call. I was a chaplain for the police department in Frankfurt, and I got a call from dispatch. There was a domestic homicide, and they wanted me to go out. So I sat out that night in a field. I went home, put my chaplain uniform on, and then went out and sat out in a cold night across from a house with a bunch of people I didn't know, where people were just trying to process what was happening. And finally, it was late, it was after midnight that I got home. And so I grabbed a few hours of sleep on Easter morning, and I woke up exhausted. Now, being exhausted for a pastor on a Sunday morning is never the best recipe. Easter morning, it feels a little bit worse to be totally exhausted. But I just remember like praying and pouring my heart out and hoping that it would be enough, like my efforts would be enough for whatever God wanted to do. And as I poured everything out, and I after my sermon, I went to sit down, and I just sat there wondering if anything that I did or said was helpful to anybody at all. And as I silently prayed, God, I just asked Jesus to be knocking on people's hearts. And I just prayed that, feeling empty, hoping for the Lord of Easter to give life to my dead soul. And as I was sat there praying, the man from Georgia went up and he took the microphone. And then I heard this. He started knocking on the microphone. And he said, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Are you going to let Him in? And once again, I was astounded. How did my silent prayer get answered? This guy must have been incredible. He must have had some sort of lifeline from God that was special and unique and wonderful. Well, time would tell that that wasn't exactly, this person really wasn't different than me. And recently, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about this event. And He said, Daniel, you thought it was about this person speaking, this person who took the microphone. And the Lord said, it never was about the man from Georgia. I'm the one who speaks. That was me. That wasn't him. That was my message. It wasn't about him, and it never was. I am the speaker. I'm the one who speaks. You get distracted and focused on him and whether or not he was some sort of special person, but it's about me. Now, as we, again, wrap up, I just want to encourage you to be thinking about, if you're a follower of Jesus again, be intentional. Find intentional ways to be trying to hear what God is saying to you, because God has things to say to you that I have no idea. I don't know what you're going through. but the Holy Spirit does. God knows so much more than any of us do. And the Lord, the way that Jesus talked about it, and we see in the scriptures, that can speak to us. It's God who can speak, and his ability to communicate is so much better than people like me sometimes give God credit for. But God can speak to you, and he can speak to me. And I want to encourage you to be intentional about trying to hear what the Lord has to say to you, because it might be through a song, it might be through another person, an experience, and then the Lord will have his way of confirming it. But I want to encourage you, again, to be intentional. Now, one practice that historically Christians have had is something called examine. It's where just throughout periods of the day, there's a reflection and an asking God to speak. And that may be something you might try, but I just encourage you to explore it. God can talk in various different ways, and explore those and see how the Lord wants to speak to you and ask him to speak to you. Don't just ask one time, though, and give it 5 seconds and say, no, he's silent. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep listening, and see what the Lord has to say to you. Pay attention. So as we close out, Christ is not the type who just barges in. He's the one who knocks. He's a gentleman. Are you going to welcome him in? Christ, the voice of God is often a low. It's compared to a whisper, and he whispers because he's near. We want to tune our hearts into the frequency that the Lord speaks, because it's so different than the world and so much better. May we welcome him. May we be intentional. May we explore, experiment, pray. Now, if you agree with that, if you want the Lord to speak to you, I just want to ask you to join your heart to this simple prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.